Good morning, Geneva. Our scripture reading this morning is from John 14, verses 1 through 10. Let's listen to the words of Jesus before we hear our message today. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. The word of the Lord.
It's our last lesson in hospitality. We've been talking about hospitality through the year. You've made it to the last lesson. Hopefully, it's been helpful to us. I want us to think for a minute this morning about something that we've talked about a little bit in interpersonal communication class. One of the things we like to be able to do in interpersonal communication is sort of figure out how things work. And as we're going to see in a minute, as we know, Christ is a master of communication with us as persons. But we can get a little mischievous about this, so I'm going to tell you something that you can do, but I'm not recommending that you do it, but you'll know that you can do this and create problems. So there are going to be a lot of situations in the next month or two where you're going to be in gatherings of various kinds, and you can create trouble. And one of the ways you can do that is through a thing called trigger phrases. In interpersonal communication, we call these things trigger phrases. And so if you want to create and generate conflict, there are some things that you can do. So, you know, you're in a context, in a gathering, maybe a reception or a picnic or something like that, and you go into a group of people and you look at someone and you say, what's your problem? Right? Or you use incendiary words like never or always. You always. You never. And then somebody starts to get upset. You say, calm down. And then you can walk away and let the conflict go on. So you can get people into conflict and fights and that kind of thing. And I'm not recommending that you do that, but it's important that we kind of understand what's going on. Because if you think about the context of our passage today, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. But let's think about why the disciples might have a reason to be troubled. This is right after the Last Supper. And there are some very troubling things that Jesus does and says. Almost everything he says at the Last Supper is difficult. He introduces the whole idea of servant leadership through washing of feet. He says, someone's going to betray me and it's going to be one of you. He says, I'm going a place you can't come and place that you won't follow. And Peter responds to that. Jesus has been saying, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, all through the Gospels. And then all of a sudden, he says something that's very hard for us to hear. He says, I'm going to a place and you can't follow me right now. Now, I can tell you, as a dog lover and a dog owner, one of the hardest things to teach a puppy to do is to stay. Right? It takes a tremendous amount of patience. You tell a dog, you stay here and you go away, and the dog follows you. Puppies do this, right? And with children, to say, now, I'm putting you to bed, I'm turning the lights out, and I'm going downstairs, that is not a happy moment for a lot of us as children. It's troubling. And so when Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to a place that you can't come, it makes sense for him to say, let not your hearts be troubled. It makes sense. It would make sense for us. I'm going someplace you can't go, and you have to stay here. And so we're saying to the Lord, where are you going and why can't we come? Where are you going and why can't we come? And Jesus responds with these simple words, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back. Trust me. Trust me in this. We want to trust him. And we want to ask, though, what is the place like that you're going? What is this place like? And that question doesn't get asked explicitly. But Jesus responds to that sense. And he says, I'm going to my Father's house. Now, I want you to think with me again for a minute about different kinds of places we can go. And I want you to think about different kinds of tables. Well, a fun thing to do is to think about restaurants. Okay? Kind of a stock kind of question. So I want you to think about how long does a particular restaurant, and I'll give you a couple different kinds of restaurants, how long do they want you to stay? Okay, so if you do the old-fashioned thing and you actually go to McDonald's and you go in, you don't do the drive-thru, you go to McDonald's, how long do they want you to stay? Okay. Or if you go to a place like TGI Fridays, how long do they want to stay? How long do they want you to stay? Now, I have never been to this place, but it's fun to try and say the name. What do you think, how long do you think Ruth's Chris Steakhouse? You can hardly even say it. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. I don't know where that name came from, but somebody does. How long are you supposed to stay there? And it's not the same time, is it? There was an article a long time ago in Business Week that talked about how McDonald's designed their seating, their lighting, their colors, everything to have you stay for only be able to be comfortable for 5 to 10 minutes. Okay? There's a similar place, a local place in Bloomington, Indiana I used to go to. Wonderful food and everything, but the slogan of the place was eat and get out. You could get a t-shirt that says eat and get out. It's like the village diner or something like that. And they had very hard wood booths, straight backs. You know, the whole place was designed to feed you. We want you to come and eat, but please do not sit and have an hour-long conversation. By the way, if you're contemplating, it's getting towards the end of the semester and you're thinking, you know, this might be a good time to move a relationship to the next step, McDonald's would not be your top choice. If you were thinking McDonald's or someplace like that, you might want to rethink that, have a conversation with someone who's a little older, maybe get some counsel on that kind of question, right? On the other hand, I don't know how many of you have been to this kind of restaurant. Right after I graduated from Geneva, I went to work in Washington, and my third job, I couldn't hold a job there, my third job in Washington, D.C. was for a national trade association. They have volunteers that come to visit who volunteer for the association. So you take them to five-star restaurants in Washington, D.C., and you spend the evening and spend a lot of money. And you'd sit down, and the restaurant would give you a menu that didn't have prices on it. There's no prices on the menu. And the people who serve you don't have name tags. They tell you their name enough, and you memorize their name, and you're supposed to stay there forever and keep ordering food and drinks and all kinds of things. So whose house? Now we're not talking about a restaurant. Now, whose house do you want to go to? Whose table today do you love to eat at? My wife and I particularly like Anita's table. It's my mom's house. We like to go there. We like to be able to relax. It's a fun thing to go to her house with other people and just sit and listen, because she's interesting and she asks people interesting and hard questions, and occasionally she pops off. She'll say something surprising, interesting. I don't know, some of you, I know we talked about relationships. Some of you might be in a relationship now, and you might, you're trying to figure out. Hope you're not doing too much of define the relationship thing. It gets tiresome. But to kind of figure out where you are in a relationship, and so you're together somewhere, and Mrs. Traup and I, we're not engaged in that, but we're at breakfast at Anita's table, and we're sitting there having breakfast, drinking coffee and tea, and having a good time. And my mom starts to talk about stuff. And we're sitting there, and she says to Mrs. Traup, "Well, if your children are anything like their father was, and we came away from that conversation thinking maybe she approved of the relationship." The interesting things have it. Now, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, but this is not a place that's unknown to you. I'm going to my Father's house. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place to you. This is a known place. This is a table to which we want to go. It's a table to which we want to go." If you ask yourself the question, what are you going to do with Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth? What are you going to do with Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth? We often ask that question, and we kind of think about, well, what would I like to do? Some of you might think, well, I'd like to play a round of golf in a sanctified context. I might do better. You might think about things you love to do and have Jesus do those things with you. But in fact, the scripture tells us some of what we're going to do with Jesus. Because Jesus tells us we're going to eat together. We're going to eat together with Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. How do we know that? Well, one clue is in Psalm 23. This idea that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us is not a new idea. We read it together. We sang it together. But this is towards the end of the Psalm of Psalm 23. We don't always think about the end of things that we read and sing. But I want you to notice this. You see, the disciples are troubled. They're in a time of difficulty. Look at what happens before the table in Psalm 23. "Even though you go, I'm with you through the valley of the shadow of death." but I'm going to prepare a table for you. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In a difficult moment, Jesus is practicing hospitality and setting a table. He's preparing a place, and it's a good place. My cup overflows. He's anointed my head with oil. He's a good host. He doesn't invite me in and leaves me alone. He invites me in. He anoints my head with oil. He washes my feet. And my cup overflows. Good wine. The wine that they said at the wedding of Cana, you saved the best for last. This is unusual. This is the wine that Jesus Christ gives us. The bread and the wine that he gives us, the best. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's the point about the place that Jesus is going to prepare for us? What's the point about it? We have no idea what it's going to look like. The point of the place that Jesus is going to prepare for us is Jesus is there. Jesus is there eating with us. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "To believers, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens to me, I'll come in with him and I'll eat with him. I'll sup with him. We'll sit down and dine together without a timetable." Hospitality. The way Jesus does hospitality is the person. It's not a place. So Thomas comes into the picture. Jesus says, "You know how to get there." I'm so thankful for Thomas. You know, we've done a little too much psychologizing, I think, of the disciples. Too many psychological workups. You know, we're not going to do a Myers-Briggs right now on Thomas. So Thomas is wonderful. Thomas is the person in your class where, for instance, you're in a class, maybe you're in a humanities class, or you're in a philosophy class, maybe you're in a class with Dr. Fry, he might say this kind of thing, Dr. Martell would say this kind of thing, and they're talking, and they say a phrase like this. They say, "Well, you know, this represents the kind of angst you expect when you think about the late Heidegger and the problem of existential homelessness in modernity." And thankfully, not us, but somebody raises their hand and says, "I understood the homelessness part. What in the world did the rest of that mean? Because I don't think you were talking about that the rock band night angst thing. What are you saying?" So Thomas is saying, no, I don't know where we're going. Help me out here. We need Thomas. Most of us aren't comfortable asking the question. And remember that Thomas has skin in the game. Don't be down on Thomas here asking questions, because Thomas has been out with the 72 and he's been out with the 12. He's done the work. He's been involved in the ministry. He's struggling. He's troubled. So he asked the question, how do we get there? I don't know the way. I don't know the place. And all of us needed that question because we need the answer that Christ provides. The answer that Christ provides is one of those defining statements in Scripture that many of us have had to memorize, and if we haven't, we ought to. Because the answer is the way, Thomas, the way is through Jesus himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the table. No one comes to the Father's house. No one comes to the foot washing and to the anointing. No one comes to the bread and to the best wine except through Christ. It's a hard teaching. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I don't want you to miss where Jesus goes. Where does Jesus go from this conversation? And Jesus goes to the cross, and he goes to the tomb. And then he goes into the glorified body, the resurrected body. And then he ascends. Where he goes, he later says to Peter, you're going to go to a place that you don't want to go. This isn't an easy place to go. It's through the valley of the shadow of death. But Christ goes before us, and so he goes with us as the Good Shepherd. We are going to go through death. But as we understand and do what Jesus told us to do, believe. You believe in God, he says. Believe in me. Inasmuch as we put our trust, we believe in Christ and his word. He's good for his word. That we will go to his Father's house. He will guide us through life's most difficult paths. Because he's been there before us. He's cleared the way for us as the Good Shepherd to even move through death itself. We don't have to fear the tomb because we will not go through the tomb alone. We will be shepherded. Christ has promised that he will shepherd us to take us to the place he has gone. Through resurrection and ascension and to the Father's house, to the new heaven and the new earth. But there is no other way. There's no alternative. And this is the offense of Christ. This is the offense of the cross. There aren't 10 approximate ways. There's one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he went, that he would go and prepare a place for us. And he will. Jesus guarantees the place because what makes it a place of hospitality is his presence. He will and has come back and will walk with us through the way into the Father's house. But there's only one way for us to go. It's a path of hospitality. But the hospitality is not the path and it's not the place. The hospitality is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have a house and that you have ordained that that house be both prepared for us and open to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you reveal this to us so clearly in him and through your word. And we pray that you might grant us to believe your word, to walk the path who is Christ, and to live in accordance with his person and his work. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.